if I'm not mistaken, next week is going to be our exam week, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. We'll kind of go over a little bit some things on the exam for next week. Let us go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for this is a day that you have made. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you're fortifying things in our lives. Lord God, getting us ready for the higher calling of the purpose of God for our life, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, that as we embark on this teaching, Lord God, that you're going to reveal and bring to light things that we need to continue to build upon, Lord God, so that, Lord God, we can build honor in our lives. Our desire, Lord God, is to be men and women of integrity that walk in honor. So we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you for our apostle. We thank you, Lord God, for this ministry, for the first family, Lord God. And we thank you for what you're doing by your spirit, Lord God. And you have chosen to put us right smack dab in the middle of your will, Lord God, and what you're doing here in this region, Lord God. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. And Father, I just humble myself to you and I yield my members unto you, Lord God, as a living sacrifice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. We're going to continue talking on the subject of building honor. So everything in our test, this test session is going to be the lessons we ministered on building honor. And that kind of starts somewhere like page 89 or page 90 in your book. And there's, I think, 10 different topics that it talks about, subtopics on building honor. But as I was studying this week for the class, the Lord kept impressing on me to go back over certain aspects of it. And one of those aspects was service. Serving builds honor. I want to read a scripture from the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." It is so important that we be found faithful as ministers in Christ. Faithful, doing what God has called us to do, being faithful stewards, serving in the capacity that God has called us to serve in. That's so very important. One of the aspects that the Lord started to deal with me on the last couple of days was knowing your man of God's heart. Knowing your man or your woman of God's heart. That is so very important that you know their heart. I have here, you must know your leader's heart. You must know your leader's heart so that you're able to serve them better. Know how your leader or your man or your woman of God, know how they flow. Know how God uses them. So, and the only way you're going to know that is by soaking the word that comes out of their mouth, by meditating, study, praying in the Holy Spirit, and asking God to reveal unto you, "Lord, I thank you that I know my pastor's heart. I thank you that I know my apostle's heart." That's so very important, because in order to be used in ministry effectively, you've got to know the flow of the anointing, and I'm jumping ahead of myself, but you got to know the voice of the house. Every house, every camp, every ministry has a unique voice or a unique message, a unique call that God has for them for the body of Christ. The Bible says, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man." But every camp or every ministry has a unique and different calling, and you need to know the voice of the house that God has called you to, so that you can flow. But it all starts with knowing your man of God's heart, knowing his heart. I'm give you an example. Something that happened about a year, maybe 2 years ago, and just knowing his heart and knowing his desire for me and for ministers and for the church in general. I had got an opportunity to minister at a Methodist church, Matter of fact, my first cousin was associate pastor at the time of the church. I think she's now the pastor. But they were having a special meeting. I don't know, was it a Founders Day or whatever? And she called me and asked me, could I speak at the meeting? And I said, you know, I don't have any problem, but I'm a first, you know, contact my pastor and get his approval and a permission in order to do so. That's very important. You know, you don't want to do any ministry outside of what your man or your woman of God gives you permission to do. You know, because anytime you go and you minister, you represent them. You know, you're a product of the house that you're from. Okay. And so I got the word, you know, to the apostle, but I never got a word back. You know, it was about 2-3 weeks before, you know, the actual ministry date I made, you know, made the request. And, you know, week passed, week and a half passed, and I started praying in the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I recognize is sometimes when you don't get an answer, that's a solid no. Now, but you can go if you want to go, but I'm not getting anything, you know. Because he's not going to go against your pastor, won't go against your will. But when you know their heart, you know, number one, they're your covering and they're looking out for you. And so I got to praying about it a week. I need to let the individual know. And so as I prayed about it, I didn't even get a witness in myself. You know, there were things we were doing here at this ministry that I was involved in that was keeping me busy enough that I would have had to work this in my schedule. You know, I would have had to miss a Sunday service that we were having a Master Life Bearers meeting that Sunday. So what I'm saying is me going to do something elsewhere was more important than me sitting here listening to my man of God giving instructions for what he wanted to do for this house. And so I said, no, I said, I called her and I said, look, I'm sorry, but I got too much on my plate already. You know, I want to make sure I give you enough time to get another speaker, but I'm not going to be able to do it. You know, knowing your man of God's heart. And no, I guess what I want to point out in that regard is their desire is not to hurt you or to hold you back, but to protect you. And then the Lord began to speak to me. It was a Methodist church. He said, they probably wouldn't have received what you had to say anyway, you know, because it's a different flow, you know, and then I'm say, you're going to be ministering on Monday in the school of ministry. You're going to be foundation class on Wednesday, prison ministry during the weekend. So, son, you got enough on your plate. Don't do something just for an honorarium or just to get exposure, because you're called to serve. You know, and that's what I want to point out. I'm called to serve in this house. This is my assignment. God has called me to serve under my apostle, just like he's called you to serve under your pastor, you know, or whoever that you're serving under. You want to be faithful. Going back to that scripture. It says, moreover, it is required of stewards that we be found faithful. Faithful doing what God called us to do, where he calls us to do it at. Faithful, you know. And that's a problem a lot of young ministers have, because the author even talks about the young lions who are roaring to minister or to go out and establish ministries without first getting the witness of their man of God before they go out. One of the things we found out here recently, before Jesus began his ministry, John the Baptist testified that this is the Lamb of God that, you know, that coming to take away the sins of the world. You know, he's the one that whose shoes I'm not able to tie. You know, I must what decrease and he must increase. He was proclaiming that this is the Messiah. So he was actually witnessing a new dispensation is about to begin. You know, I preach repentance and he's going to bring in a whole new dispensation of the kingdom of God. You know, so I've seen too many people, you know, when you talk about serving, a lot of times people get, well, how long do I need to serve? Elijah served until he saw his man of God go up in the whirlwind. You know, he served continually. You know, Joshua served until Moses was off the scene. But he continued to serve. And then even in that serving, God instructed Joshua, you know, he said, you know, everything that Moses had instructed you to do, this book of the law, what Moses had written, or what Moses had said, this is what I want you to do. Now, God was speaking to him personally, but he was speaking to him saying, I want you to do, because see, instruction and divine order always comes from the top down. God will speak it to his man of God. To apostolic order, to the apostolic. We're talking about a heaven to earth connection. We've all heard that for the last couple of years. And it all filters down. So when you align yourself properly where God has placed you, within your assignment, your instructions is going to come through your man or your woman of God. And that's so very important. Now, God may speak to you about a particular situation, but he's also going to confirm it through your man or your woman of God. And that's so very important that we flow in that vein and not be chomping at the bit to do something outside of the agenda, outside of the vision, outside of the ministry God has called us to do. Amen. Let me move on. Listen to this. We must understand how God's government functions. God's government operates differently from secular government. Secular government, you have a democracy. The majority of the people rule. But in God's government, you have what is known as a theocracy, where God rules. And he rules through delegated authority. Going, like I said, anointing flowing down from the top. You know, when Moses went up to Mount Sinai to get the commandments, he got it directly from God. And now he had God's instructions and he brought it to the people. You know, we talk about Jacob's ladder, you know, how the angels were descending and ascending, you know, but they were bringing instruction to the apostolic, and the apostolic, you know, I talked about a vertical relationship that they have with God. But then now the man of God has a horizontal relationship with us, where now he's conveying to us what thus says the Lord. Theocracy. You know, God ruled, but then he'll rule through delegated or his appointed men or women of God to bring the message to his people. And so it's not up for debate. You know, one of the things I've learned is the Lord will place in position whoever he desires. Because, see, God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the outward appearance. You know, a good example of that would be David. You know, when Samuel went to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king, he goes and he tells Jesse, I came to anoint your son. Bring your sons to me. And he brought one son. He looked at him. He said, nah, he ain't the one. Then they brought another son to him. He looked at him. He said, nah, he ain't the one. He said, do you have any more sons? He said, well, I got one young lad. He's out in the field tending to the sheep, you know, tending out in the field. He said, well, I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to rest until you bring him before me. And when they brought him before, there David was, a young, you know, sprawling young lad, you know, didn't look like he was going to be God's man for that hour. People calling me. But God had chosen him. God had chosen him, you know. And the reason why I brought that up is, you know, to Jesse, you know, his older sons, you know, his the ones who will look physically fit and built for the job seem to be the right one, you know, looking at an outward appearance. But God looks at the heart. And with David, His development was out in the field with experiences with the lion and with the bear, you know, and even when it came to time when he was with Goliath, because he had some previous experiences with God, previous victories, you know, just like Moses spent time with Jethro on the backside of the mountain, you know, learning learning how to submit to somebody, learning how to, you know, how to follow orders and instructions and how to yield. That is so, see, all of that is a part of serving. You know, if you can't do that, you're not ready for ministry. If you can't, you know, have a behind the mountain experience where nobody sees you, nobody knows who you are, you know, you just behind the scenes serving. But what you're doing, God is molding you and he's shaping you. So when the time comes, then you, because of you sitting, listening and learning and paying attention, now God is able to use you, because when you open your mouth, what's going to come out is what you've been hearing, what you've been meditating on, hearing from your man or your woman of God, and God's going to endorse it, because what you now have, what I stated earlier, you have the voice of the house. You know, give you a good illustration. Nobody in here enrolled in this school to hear my voice, to hear my message, my revelation. If you did, you came here for the wrong reason. You came here because of apostolic government. You enrolled in this school because of the apostle, because of what God had placed in him and God spoken to your heart. But as an instructor, it's my job to know the voice of the heart, the voice of the house, you know, the apostle, so that I can convey what his agenda is, not my agenda. I have no agenda. My agenda is to do the will of my man of God, to take up on an assignment and to continue that assignment and to finish that assignment until the work is done. You know, that's serving, constantly serving, not trying to make yourself be seen, but the Bible says, you know, when you do it unto the Lord, you know, anything you do, it has to be done unto the Lord. Amen. And one of the things that leaders do is they create serving opportunities for young ministers. I guess I had been a member of the church maybe 2-3 years. I was 3 years, because I had just finished. At that time, it was Ever Increasing Word. It was a school of ministry, it was called. Now it's Ever Increasing Word Training Center. But I went into the apostle's office. This was back in the old church. And I had a question, because we had circles. And I had a question concerning my circle. And he answered the question. I said, "Thank you, sir." And so I proceeded to walk out the door. He said, "No, sit back down, Calhoun. You're in here for another reason." I said, "Oh, I am." You know, I didn't, you know, it just kind of caught me off guard. He says, "I want you to start going with Brother so-and-so into the prison. I want you to begin to develop ministering to people, and prison ministry is a good opportunity for you to exercise your gift." You know, and I think I was standing at the time, and my knees start to get weak. And I'm hearing what he's saying, and I'm saying, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." He said, "That's it. Well, get with Brother George and do whatever he tells you to do." So, "Yes, sir." So I walked out the door, and if it wasn't for the fact that the hall was narrow and I was right there by the wall, I probably would have fell. Because in my own ability, I'm saying, "Lord, I can't do this." And that was the best thing I could have said. In my own ability, "I can't do this." You know, I mean, "Lord, this is too much for me. You know, I'm just here to come to church and learn about you. I didn't ask for all of this." But my next thought was, if my man of God thinks enough of me to give me this assignment, you know, I'm not going to let him down. I'm going to stick with the assignment. That's been 22, maybe 23 years ago, you know, sticking with the assignment, doing what God's called you to do. And we have people who don't, how can I say, they launch out before they get launched out. And they don't get everything that they need. So you're never going to be as productive as you could, because you want your man of God's blessing. Okay, let me read this. Leaders need to create serving opportunities for upcoming ministry gifts so that they can develop their ministry. At the same time, there must be an exit strategy in the church for them. In other words, if they feel like, well, God's calling me to be a pastor, well, there are certain things, okay, well, you need to sit and serve. You need to, you know, watch and do what you're instructed to do. And so when the time comes, it's going to be a confirmation between the man of God and also with you that, hey, now he can support you in what you're doing. And you're not just going out there on your own. And that's so very important. Amen. You know, but it's all about serving. It's all about continually serving, consistently serving. You know, there was a gentleman a while back who called me, and he had been serving in prison ministry. And I'm talking about honor. We've not gotten off the subject, but it's about building honor, but it's building honor through service. Being faithful, as the scripture says, as a steward, you should be found faithful. Consistently doing what you've been called to do. Anyway, he called me and he says, I'm calling to let you know I'm stepping down from prison ministry. I said, okay. He says, I'm also leaving the church. I said, okay. I said, have you talked to the apostle about this? He said, I don't have nothing to say to the apostle. I said, well, what's going on? He says, I don't want to talk about it. You know, and I just, it disturbed me. I said, okay, well, you know, you're released. You know, I'm going to bring this information up forward, you know. But the Lord showed me he had a loyalty issue, because when you're loyal to your man of God, you don't just ditch your leader. You don't just ditch your man of God, you know, because something rubbed you the wrong way, or a position came up and you didn't get it, or maybe somebody has moved somewhere you thought you should have been, you know, and you get perturbed about it. No, you know, if tomorrow they assign me to the parking lot, guess what? I'm gonna be in the parking lot every Sunday, directing cars, whatever it takes, because anything you do unto the Lord. You know, God sees your heart, and God rewards you for your faithfulness. You know, as a minister, you know, as stewards of the mysteries of the gospel, it is required that we be faithful in whatever we're called to do. A person's real power or strength is seen in their ability to walk in total humility, having a total dependence on God, and having confidence and having no confidence in their own ability. I'm gonna read that again. A person's real power or strength is seen in their ability to walk in total humility, having a total dependency upon God, and having no confidence in their own ability. Not that they don't have ability, but I'm not putting my confidence, I'm not putting my trust in my own ability. My dependency and my trust is in Christ. You know, and you see, when you walk in humility is you submitting yourself to God, to the man of God that God's called you to, and serving humbly. You know, and I stated this in, I think, maybe one or two classes earlier. You never want to mistake humbleness for weakness, because people, oh, that person's so humble. They're meek, and they're no. Moses was the meekest man, the Bible says, on the face of the earth. But Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know. Basically, by hearing God's voice and doing what God told him to do, defeated all of Pharaoh's army. He didn't defeat him. He just did what God told him to do, and the whole army got drowned in the sea, you know. But what did he do? He did what God instructed him to do, you know. And by doing that, he led a whole nation of people out of bondage, leading them towards the promised land, you know. Humility. He was the meekest man on the face of the earth, but his strength was in his ability to yield to God and hear his voice and yield to God. So your strength is in your ability to yield to your man of God. Yield to what God has called you to do, and do it in all lowliness and meekness. And what happens is God becomes your backup. God becomes your strength. He says, take my yoke upon me. You know, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. And so you're not in your own ability anymore. It's him infusing and empowering you to carry out the work that God has called you to do. And that builds honor. It builds integrity in you. And it also more so builds honor, because when you do that, people stand up and they take notice when you're fulfilling your role, fulfilling your purpose, and executing your role in the plan and the purpose of God, and not even wanting any accolades for it. You know, I'm the type of person, I'm glad my name is hardly ever mentioned. I just wanna fulfill my position. God shared with me years ago when I was a student at Southern University. He told me, he says, son, I'm going to use you more in the background. He says, he began to deal with me more about ministry of helps, about supportive ministries. You know, when Moses, whenever the Israelites were in a fight, Moses, as long as he held that rod up, they were winning the battle. But when he got tired, and the rod of the staff began to, they would lose. And so people, the ministry of helps held his hand up, or his shoulders, arm up. That's who we are. You know, we're to undergird. And you see, even that to a large degree is protecting the anointing, is undergirding, is helping, is aiding, is being whatever we need to be to free our man of God up to do what he's called to do. And that's so very important. So real power must be seen. Real power and strength must be seen in your ability to walk in total humility, having a total dependency upon God, and having no confidence in your own ability. And I stated this earlier when we talked about the voice of the house. You've got to know the voice of the house. People who don't know the voice of the house are not going to follow close, because you've got to know the heartbeat of the ministry. And what I mean by the heartbeat is, Lord, where are you taking us? You know, Lord, show me my man of God's heart so that I can flow in my assignment more easily, more freely, and with more conviction, because I'm not guessing. I'm not in guesswork. I know specifically what God has called us to do, and I'm going to function in my role and my position. That brings honor when you do that. That's so very important, because you want to bring honor. You know, getting back to the voice of the house, and I stated this earlier, you didn't come to hear my voice, but you came to hear the voice of the house. What is God saying to our man of God? And what is the vision that God has called us to? Changing the lives of people with the word of God, equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world, the home of covenant winners, teaching people how to be set free of poverty and bondage from financial lack and limitation, that they could begin to be all that God wants us to be, so that we can finance the gospel and complete the work that God's called us to do. When you know, it's like aiming an arrow at a bullseye. You know, your target is the bullseye. When you're shooting a shotgun, you're just scattering shots all over the place. You're going to hit something, but you probably won't make a big impact. But when you're aiming, or you got a rifle and you're shooting at a target, at a bullseye, you're accurate in your delivery. You know, that projectile is going to a specific point to make a contact at a specific point. You know, We in ministry need to be accurate in our delivery, accurate in our service, so that the lives that we touch, we're impacting people. We're not just kind of scattering around, beating around the bush, but we're piercing their souls with the word of God. What I mean by piercing it, where the blinders can be taken off, where they can hear precisely what God is saying and begin to take hold of what God has for them. But that's knowing the voice of the house, I guess over the course of the last maybe 3 or 4 years, I've gotten so in, I don't want to use the word engrossed, but so embedded in the ministry, so embedded in LTMA, so embedded into what the apostles doing, because I recognize that, God in his sovereignty made me an integral part of something that's going somewhere. It's an exciting journey, and it's something that, that we all are a part of by being a part of this school, by hooking up to the apostle. You got to see yourself going in the same direction that your apostle is going. I used this illustration once before. The engine on a train goes to a specific destination. Every boxcar, every, tanker, even the caboose, as long as, especially a freight train, they make several stops. They'll let off a few cars at a company or facility, and then they'll hook back up and they'll go to a next destination. Well, as long as you stay connected to the engine, he will make it to the destination first. But if you stay connected, you're going to make it to that same destination. And that's what connection will do for you. If you stay connected and stay hooked up, continue to apply the principles that's being taught. Like I said, follow the instructions. Within wherever the engine goes, the engine is gonna get there first. But when the engine moves forward, that caboose is gonna make it to that destination too. And you want to stay connected. Amen. I've watched the apostle. And I'm graced for this, to have this particular insight. In the early years, I watched him follow his man of God, Kenan Hagin. I've been to some of the meetings that he went to, and I watched how he would sit on the first row and how he would absorb the word of God and sit there and just saturate himself with what his spiritual father was saying. And so it inspires me to do the same thing, because I see the results that took place in his life, that has taken place in his ministry, and not only just hearing about it, but because I saw certain aspects of it with my own eyes, it fortifies things in me in the area of service and being committed. And that's so very important, because the service or serving to build honor is to me is one area in a lot of people's lives that are kind of lacking. I won't even put my job ahead of ministry. I've changed positions at the company I worked several times simply for the fact of accommodating ministry. If I needed a certain day off, I say, Lord, I need a Monday off. So he would tell me what to tell my supervisor. And I said, look, I need to work 4-10s with Mondays off, because I was going to a prison. And he said, well, if you can do all your work 4 days out of five, you can have Mondays off. And then I needed Fridays off, so I switched it to Friday instead of Monday. And before that, when I was working what they call an EOEO schedule, I was only at church half the time. And I said, that ain't gonna work. So I need to be off every weekend, not just every other weekend. And before that, I was working shift work, and the type of shift work it was, I might be working 3 Sundays in a row. So that ain't gonna work, And so I tell, aspiring men and women in ministry, if you, how can I say this, Lord? If you're desiring the things of God, God will accommodate you. There was a prophecy that was given the apostle consolidation and accommodation. And the Lord told me, because you're connected, that's for your man of God, but because you're connected, it's for you too. God will consolidate and accommodate things in your life because you're following the person that the prophecy was for, you know, and you're part of the vision to help fulfill the destiny or what God is doing. Well, then God will consolidate. So, in every aspect of my life, there was consolidation and accommodation to do what I needed to do, to be where I needed to be, to fulfill my role in the vision, you know, in the area of serving. And God will do it for you. Yeah. You know, I tell young men, I say, don't let your job hold you back. You know, you want to, you respect your bosses, respect, you know, and thank God for it, you know, but just begin to pray and ask God to give you wisdom. See, one of the things we talk about, one of the key areas, the first area of building honor is wisdom. You know, God to give you wisdom. Also, too, I want to talk about it before we end, is revelation knowledge. You know, and with revelation knowledge, in order to effectively hear revelation knowledge, you have to be led by the Spirit. You have to be in the Spirit. You can't be walking in the flesh and expect to hear clearly revelation knowledge. God has always spoken to me and given me revelation knowledge. Either I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, meditating on the word, or just being still, hearing, waiting for him to speak, you know, and God will give me wisdom, revelation knowledge, what I need about a particular situation or circumstance. But it's as I'm being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and that's so very important. Amen? Amen. All right, let's move on. How am I doing on time? Thank you. All right. Let's see. Okay, in the same light of what I just said, make your assignment top priority. You want to make whatever the assignment God has called you to do, you want to make it top priority. God chooses leaders and put people in leadership role to fulfill the job that he wants done as he will. You know, and it's so very important that we understand how to submit properly to delegated authority. You know, when God delegates someone an authority, it may not necessarily be your pastor or the apostle that may give you an assignment. He may put someone in delegated authority under him, giving them the authority, just like in the military. You know, the top orders may come from the president or may come from the commander of the army or the navy, and he'll give it down to his generals who from there give it down to their captains, and then they'll give it down to their sergeants, but eventually it'll get down to the privates, you know. And in the military, it doesn't matter. As long as the person over me gave me the order, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it came from the top man, which in most cases it did. You know, I've seen people get upset with somebody when they get instructions from someone in delegated authority. And I say, wait a minute, you got to understand, you know, anything that happens in most cases in this ministry, if it's a direct order or direct, you know, an assignment came from the top. And he's just carrying orders, you know, he's following instruction, you know. And so it's when you disobey or you question, well, then you know, and even the man of God is getting it from God because he's seeking God. So basically you're telling God no, you know, you got to see, because that's government. That's God's government, and we need to learn how to flow in that government, serve under that government, because I mean, that will develop honor in your life when you flow in those veins properly. You must always remember how government functions, and I stated this earlier. God's government is different, and it flows differently from secular government. You know, secular government in this country, the majority rule as a democracy, but God's government is a theocracy, where God rules, you know, and God delegates and to a man of God like a Moses or Apostle Thompson, you know, and they carry out the orders and see that the vision or see that the whatever God desires is done. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know, Moses got his marching orders from God. You know, Joshua took those orders that Moses had and continued to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses started the journey, but Joshua brought him in. You know, the walls of Jericho came down because Joshua, he learned how to follow instructions by listening and doing what Moses said to do. And so when he got in a position of authority, he just simply did what he was taught to do. And that's so, I mean, it's simple, but sometimes people get the notion, well, you know, I can hear from God myself. God speaks to me. You know, God has a government. And the flow of anointing, the flow of authority flows under apostolic order, you know, and anything else, then you become a Corinth, you know, and Corinth, if you remember, and even a Miriam who starts second guessing Moses and say, hey, look, you know, we got some ideas ourselves. You know, no, that's not it. You know, as a steward, it's so very important that we're found faithful, you know, and I can't understress that enough, that we're found faithful in flowing in delegated authority. God chooses whom he wants in key leadership roles. Your job is to serve faithful in the area where God has called you. Don't be derailed because, you know, of other agendas that's not God's agenda. And that's so very important. I talked a little bit about revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge builds wisdom. But in order to flow in revelation knowledge, like I said, you have to be led by the Spirit. One of the things that years ago we used to teach a lot on how to be led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How to hear the voice of God and know God's voice for yourself. You know, and when you're in the Spirit, you know, you're in tune with God and God can speak to you clearly, you know, by studying and meditating the Scripture, praying in the Holy Spirit helps clear the airways. You know, the Bible says there are many voices out there and none of them are without significance, but the voice you want to hear is the voice of God, you know, and when you're praying in the Holy Spirit and being sensitive to God, then God could reveal to you revelation knowledge that'll help build honor in your life. Also too, I want to talk about integrity for a minute. We talked about that before. Integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral conviction, godly principles, and moral uprightness. Integrity is an uncompromising and predictable commitment to honor moral and ethical and spiritual values and principles. I'm going to read that again. Integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral conviction, godly principles, and moral uprightness. Integrity is an uncompromising and predictable commitment. In other words, you can predict somebody who walks in integrity. It's a predictable commitment to honor moral and ethical and spiritual values and principle. Doing what's right because it's right. You know, walking upright before men, before God and man. You know, the Bible talks about never letting the sun go down upon your wrath, you know, always walking in integrity. You know, one of the things I always say, Lord, if I can't help somebody, I sure hope I don't ever hurt them, you know, because, you know, you're dealing with people's lives when you minister to them. And you wanna always impart wisdom. You always wanna encourage. You always wanna strengthen. You know, build up and fortify. You know, and never tear down. You know, and people of integrity and moral uprightness. You do the right thing. You live your life above board, where your life is an open book, where there's not even an accusation that'll hold up nowhere because of your integrity and your uprightness of heart. Amen. You know, and you see that builds honor. You know, I never forget the apostle used to say years ago about ministers in phone booths. You know, and I never forget, I was coming to church. This was before cell phones were really popular. And I needed to call my wife. And I stopped at a Shell station not far from here. And they had a little, that's when they still had you know, boots at the station. And I was trying to put some quarters in there to call. And a church member had just pulled up to get gas. And she saw me. And she said, Mr. Calhoun, you can use my cell phone. I said, no, it's okay. I got it. And I'm thinking about what the man of God was saying. I said, I sure hope she think I'm not calling nobody. I don't have no business calling. You know, and it just, you know, but you see, it's an integrity thing, you know, and it was nothing. But I'm just because, you know, the enemy will always try to bring in accusations, false accusations, you know, and I think it wasn't long after that I said, Lord, it's time for me to get a cell phone, you know, it was just something simple. But when I thought about it, I said, I remember Pastor used to talk about, you know, about ministers and going in a phone booth and calling somebody they didn't have no business calling, and I said, Lord, you know, I said, yeah, I'm gonna get me a cell phone. How am I on my time? 5 minutes, 4 minutes. All right. To kind of briefly go over, everything that's going to be on the test is going to be things that we talked about in the last couple of chapters, the last couple of classes, you know, walking in integrity, walking in humility, you know, honor, everything that we talked in those particular areas, protecting your man of God, protecting the anointing, and especially serving. You know, we talked about that. Obedience and submission, you know, which is one of the ways to build, walking in complete and total obedience and submission. You know, you want to submit. And I said, when you submit, you fall under the mission of another. All of that brings honor. It brings honor. You know, your desire is, Lord, I want to serve, and I'm yielding and I'm submitting properly. You know, that brings honor. It brings honor, you know, and along with integrity and uprightness of heart, you know, sincerity, you know, all of these things are honor builders, because we want to build honor and integrity in our lives. Because when you build that and people know that you're upright and that you have these qualities, then it's easy for them to receive from you. You know, because not only are you saying something, but your life is depicting it, you know, and that's the key thing. You know, our apostle, I mean, God has blessed him and anointed him, but his life, you know, speaks louder than anything. I mean, a man of integrity and uprightness, you know, he says, I have nothing undercover. Everything is out front and in the open, you know, knowing his heart, you know, getting back to what we talked about, knowing the voice of the house, you know, and knowing his heart. When you know somebody's heart, you can flow so much better with them. You know, it blesses me when he'll say something and the same thing he said was on my heart already. You know, it's just a confirmation, knowing his heart. You know, when you clicking, everything, it's almost like every cylinder's clicking because you're flowing together in the same vein. Amen. All right, we'll see you guys the next time, and you be blessed.
You too.
Amen.